My name is Bill Potter, and I'm the Public Relations Director for Survival Services International. It's now January 1990, and aside from some radio shows, the last tape from Survival Services concerning identics was made almost 2 years ago. In addition to new developments made both technically and delivery-wise, there's been an increasing interest in the subject of identics from people all over the world. Some of this interest is due to the advertising we've been doing, but even more has been generated by word of mouth from clients who've received identics processing. With this inflow of interest has come a score of questions and requests for more information. We've recently even had to put in a 1-800 number to handle these inquiries. But since a lot of these requests are for the same information and the questions have been similar, we have decided to make this tape to cover things people most want to know. This tape is being done in interview format with Mike Goldstein, President of Survival Services. We hope to cover all major points of interest, as well as bring you up to date on new technical and delivery developments with identics. So let's begin. Okay, Mike, like I just mentioned, we have been getting a lot of enthusiastic interest from many, many different people. How would you account for this enthusiasm? Do we have some sort of a super marketing system?
Well, I don't know if it has as much to do with marketing as it has to do with results. Just from the materials, tapes, written information that we've sent out, in addition to talking to people that have called in, answering their questions, going over specific information that they've requested, many people have told me that just this information, just this data and question answering in itself has been therapeutic. So that if they've gotten these kind of gains out of just the data, what must it be like to come out and actually do the services? So this in itself has given people confidence. In addition to that is, of course, the results from the services we have been delivering. People who have been involved in other forms of self-discovery, therapies, that sort of thing, trying to better their conditions and so on, and spending years and a lot of money and time trying to do this, being able to get things done and handled and improved in a matter of hours, these are results that are quite astounding. And this, you mentioned in the introduction regarding the word of mouth, well, this is one of the reasons why word of mouth generates is because of the results. People tell their friends, their family, their acquaintances, and so therefore we're getting a lot of interest in that way. As far as, a super marketing program, well, it's really just the real marketing I think we have is delivering good service, getting results, and communicating to people, and keep communicating in terms of new information and answering questions and working with people. And those are really the two things that we've been doing. And because of that, we're getting a lot of interest and enthusiasm.
Okay. Well, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about the development of identics?
Okay, well, as many people know, identics is a relatively new system, only a few years old, as it come into its own in the last few years. But Survival Services itself, as a company, has been in existence for almost 10 years. Also, the people that work at Survival Services, most of them, practitioners included, of course, have been in this area of personal development and self-discovery for many years. In fact, the person who did the majority of the research on identics has been involved in this area for almost 40 years. So these people coming together 10 years ago and then culminating in the next few years, the work was really how identics was developed from a lot of experience, a lot of information. See, the first 6 years of Survival Services, there were a lot of different forms of self-help delivery being done. We did one-on-one seminars, courses in many different areas. But it got to the point where we felt we had to move on from there. At the time, we were getting as good a results as anybody in this field. But it came to a point where it wasn't good enough. There were a lot of questions. There were things that we felt we had to go beyond that, where you have people that come out, for instance, and they do a service and they do well and they're happy with it. Well, at one point that was good enough. But what happens if the person goes back home and then falls back into the same pattern of existence that he or she had had going on before? Or why do you do a certain process or thing with an individual and they do great and then the next person doesn't do so well? Or that person does great and then loses his gains later on? Or sometimes why does it take certain people long time, you know, hundreds of hours to get certain things handled where it wouldn't take somebody else that long? I mean, these are questions and unpredictabilities that went on at the time where we felt we had to know the answers to this, and there had to be a route in so that we could get faster results, better results, more permanent results. So at the about 4 years ago, we decided we just got to put everything we've been doing on hold and go into a research mode, which we did. And the first year or so of this was quite difficult, very strenuous, and both emotionally and financially. But it paid off, and what it paid off in was Idenics, the beginnings of what became Idenics. And at first, there was really one person that was doing the work with Idenics and putting it together. But soon, within a short period of time, we were able to compile that information and put it together in a format so that we could train other practitioners to deliver Idenics. It's kind of gone on from there. And now we've got things laid out pretty well to where we are able to work with people in a pretty easy manner and get the results pretty quickly, and also handle the inflow of people and the interest that's going on.
You mentioned the word processing. People may not be familiar with what that term means. So if you could explain that in your next answer. In order to get these results you're getting, there must be some things being done in Idenics that aren't being done in other systems.
Well, as we go through this interview, I'm sure that most of the information that I'm going to be going over and answering the questions will give people more information in that area as far as its comparisons and how it differs from other areas. A lot of the mechanics of the subject, some of the fundamentals in terms of what we're doing actually, there are differences, and it will become more and more apparent as we go on. But I think at this point in answering this particular question right now, probably the most important and unique thing about Idenics is the philosophy of the subject. In most subject systems or methodologies that are delivered, you have the person who is delivering that system or who originated that system is somehow above the person coming in for help or assistance. Of course, this varies from system to system, but there is that flavor of the person who is running the system knows more, knows what's best, knows really the right thing for the person coming in. Whereas there's that person that's coming in really doesn't know. He's not really the authority. The person who is delivering it is. And this is where you might have a guru who lays out a path for his disciples to follow, or even a therapist who selects the subjects to be taken up for his patients. In these areas, you end up coming up with things where you have set ways in which people are, set rote procedures that one uses, certain levels and so on, to where the person coming in really feels that he really doesn't know as much about himself as the person he's going into to work with. In Idenics, this type of an atmosphere really doesn't exist. In fact, there is no altitude of the practitioner over the client. All the altitude is really with the client. In a radio interview I did, in explaining this type of philosophy, the person doing the interview said, well, your practitioner seems like the native guide for the big white hunter. Well, I thought that was kind of interesting. It is a good analogy. It shows that altitude of the client. Because the person that really knows about the client, where all the real information about that client is with the client. It's not in some book or some authority or some guru. The answers that the person is really seeking are really within themselves. This is not a new concept, but it's new in terms of its application in the mechanics of what we're doing in Idenics. That's very new. In the fact that in what we're doing, there is no judgment. There is no evaluation for the person coming in. We have no preconceived ideas at all of how a person should be, or what goals a person should attain, or what they should be shooting for or doing in life. This is up to the individual. And we really don't know what's going on with that person that's coming in. How could we? We didn't live their life. But they can find out what's going on with them. And really, the practitioner in Identics is simply a facilitator in the process of self-discovery who assists the person in guiding them in certain areas based on subjects that the individual wants to take up. But it's that individual, it's that person coming in who does the inspecting, who does has the realizations, who really knows when he has finished something and where and when he or she has gotten gains. There are no levels in Identics. There are no rote procedures because each individual has their own unique viewpoint. Every person is different. People are not the same. If two people are sitting there with their heads 2 inches apart looking through a window at the same scene, they may be looking at the same scene, but if you ask each of them to describe it, they would describe things different to you because they each have their own point of view. And this is how people are worked with here. It is not just a philosophy that makes it. We didn't come up with a philosophy just to be different. We came up with a philosophy. We apply the philosophy because it's workable. It's very workable. And yes, we have mechanics, we have techniques within Identics, but without this philosophy, the application of those techniques would not be anywhere near as effective. So really, this philosophy can't be underrated, its importance. So that's what I would say is one of the most unique things about the subject. Just to answer your question about the processing, delivery or the service of Identics is done on a one-to-one basis, which is called processing. It's just a term that we use. The reason we don't deliver this in seminars or with groups, well, really gets back to the philosophy, why it has to be done on a one-to-one basis, because we're dealing with individuals. And each person experienced things and responded to things the way they did. And unless you can work with them as an individual, for each individual is really not going to discover the things they really need to know in a group format. So the effectiveness of really getting those results has to be on a one-to-one basis, and that's really what Identics processing is.
What about the mechanics of the subject? Could you go over some of the basics or fundamentals of Identics?
Sure. Probably it's pretty appropriate now that I've gone over the philosophy to go over some of the mechanics. As far as fundamentals, well, I'd like to start very fundamentally in terms of what we're talking about as far as the individual. I think the most basic or fundamental thing in this area is almost a metaphysical type of an aspect. We're talking about the person themselves or the being or the essence rather than everything else that we see, the basic person themselves. And this is almost a spiritual nature of man that we're talking about. It really is a spiritual nature of man. This basic self, this basic being, is really not of the physical universe. It's also unlimited. Doesn't have any limitations. There's nothing wrong with this being. You don't have to process or fix or repair this being. How could there be anything wrong with it? But its connection to the physical universe is through viewpoints. Points of view, points from which it perceives from. And these viewpoints are limited, each and every one. But by assuming these points of view or viewpoints, this gives the being a location. He or it is able to receive and give communication from viewpoint to viewpoint and so on. There is mass, there is location, there is space. These are limited, it is not. Now, as far as viewpoints, well, let me expand a little bit on this. Identics, the word itself is coined from a word, identity. Now, identities in various forms have been talked about for hundreds, perhaps thousands of years. But for our purposes in Identics, what we mean by an identity is a way a person decides to be in order to deal with or handle something. An identity is composed of a viewpoint, a point from which one perceives. It's also composed of a major purpose or goal for which it is trying to accomplish. It also is composed of beliefs, ideas, decisions, considerations, a whole package of how to be in given circumstances or situations. And these identities are what the being uses and assumes to play the game of life. And on most part, there's nothing wrong with having identities. That's how one plays the game. That's how one lives. So one operates in this world. So there's nothing wrong, like I say, with having these identities. But the ones that we end up dealing with with an individual, the ones that give the person difficulty are ones that the individual gets stuck in or assumes unknowingly. An identity that is really, just as an example of an identity, one that may not be giving anybody difficulty, but just an identity, would be you could have a person who's a computer salesman. And when he goes to work, he assumes his computer salesman identity with perhaps a major purpose of selling more computers than anyone. But when he goes home in the evening to the wife and kids, it wouldn't be appropriate to continue to sell the family computers, so he shifts into a parent or husband identity with a whole different set of goals and purposes. People move in and out of these sort of identities daily, many times maybe during a day, without much thought, pretty automatically. Not much problem for most of these. But the one thing that people who come to us or go anywhere for assistance trying to handle something or going into any kind of therapy or seminars or whatever, these people have something in common. They have some unwanted condition or conditions, something about themselves that they don't like, that they want to resolve or handle, but they're having difficulty getting rid of it or handling it. Now, even the person who comes to me and says, well, I don't have any unwanted conditions, I just have an area of my life I want to improve. Well, that's fine, but you could simply ask them, regarding that area that you want to improve, what's getting in your way from just improving it? And at that point, you probably come up with the unwanted condition. And one of the discoveries in identics is that any unwanted condition is simply the property of some identity. And that if you handle the identity, then you can handle or resolve the unwanted condition connected with it. An identity, you can liken an identity to a suit of armor. The person gets in it, it limits their movement, but it's useful in some circumstances. Okay? But what if the person didn't know they weren't the suit of armor? What if there was no separation between them and it? They may get in it, it would work fine in battle, but they try to go swimming, they'd sink. Somebody pulls them out of the water and they say, boy, I don't know what's wrong with me. I have this terrible condition when it comes to water. I mean, I know other people can swim, but I can't. What's wrong with me? And they come up with all sorts of unusual solutions of how to stay afloat, when in fact all they would have to do is take off the armor, but not knowing that the armor isn't them, they can't do it. So it's an analogy, but I think it works for, you know, for demonstrating what we're talking about as far as an identity and an unwanted condition and how it's connected with it. And if the individual can inspect these things, then they can resolve the unwanted conditions, because there are many rules or laws that are packaged in with the way a person is being at a particular time. And these rules and laws are not seen, they're just operated off of. They're part of the identity. And the person later, once these things have been generated, along with the identity, they just obey them automatically. And pretty much these things that are stuck in, that a person's stuck in, assumes unknowingly, doesn't know are not him, these are the things that give people difficulties. And what the person is aware of when he's coming here or going anywhere about difficulties is some unwanted condition. So that's pretty much some of the mechanics and basics of the subject.
Could you explain about how these unwanted identities become formed or generated?
People are going through life trying to attain their goals, whether short-term or long-term, whether it's I want to be successful or I need to get to an appointment by 5 o'clock. These are goals. And the person's intention in life and their doingness is toward trying to progress to achieving these particular goals. As they are doing this, they will encounter in life barriers or obstacles to this intention. Things will get in their road. Now, many obstacles or barriers that people encounter, they just confront and they handle and they get on with it. In fact, what we call these barriers or obstacles really are problems. It's some counterintention to their intention. But a lot of people can just handle problems and get on with it. In other words, not all obstacles or barriers that one encounters to their intentions or goals necessarily leave them aberrated later on. But there are some types of obstacles or barriers that people will encounter that later on they are aberrated. They are fixed or stuck because of it. And these particular types of barriers in eidetics we call confusions. And we define a confusion as a disruption of an intention or expectation rather than an interruption, a real disruption. For instance, as I mentioned, not all barriers are later the person becomes aberrated because of it. For instance, let's take the example of trying to get to an appointment at 5 o'clock. Say the person runs into a traffic jam. Well, that's a barrier to his intention. But most people may not become aberrated because of this. They just find an alternate route, get to the appointment 15 minutes late, explain themselves to their client, and get on with it. No big deal. But what about these other things that we call confusions, where there's a real disruption? What makes it a confusion? How does a confusion become a confusion for a person? Well, first of all, the person is always being something. And what he is being, that identity, whenever it is, has its limitations. Now, sometimes a person will encounter certain obstacles that whatever he is being, at the time he encounters it, is limited to the point where it is not able, where he is not, through that identity, able to handle that situation. And therefore, it is a confusion to him. And what this person does, what occurs at this point, is there is a change. And there's rules and laws and regulations of how to be established and put out at that point of the change. And out the other end of the confusion, the person becomes a little bit or maybe a lot different. Okay? And somehow what he became or she became was able to handle in some way that confusion. But the thing is, this whole thing, this whole sequence altogether, what the person was being before, the confusion, the change, the rules, the laws, what they were being after, all sort of fit together like a package that somehow is carried on through time, and the person gets stuck in various parts of this. And really all they're later on aware of is just, say, the unwanted condition, which is just a tip of the iceberg of the whole thing. And within the eidetics processing, we're able to assist a person in going back and taking this apart, inspecting it fully, and being able to repeal these laws of how to be. So they have the freedom, a true freedom, not just freedom from, but freedom to. They can be or not be this thing. They're not compelled to do something or be something that they don't know why. So therefore, within this, compulsions are handled. Patterns that people fall into, like I mentioned before, the thing that we were trying to do is find, how do you handle the actual patterns that people go into instead of just making them feel better for a little while? How are they able to handle patterns so they don't fall back into feeling like that? Well, it's all tied up within this type of a package that I'm giving an example to. And really, that is how identities are generated. They are generated by the being in these situations to handle something. But they're held on to. That's pretty much how that's done.
Okay, Mike, you've talked about the limitations of identities and how identities are generated. But could you explain just a little bit about why people, you know, can't inspect this for themselves and sort it out?
Okay, well, before I answer that, let me give a few. I think it would be useful for me to give some examples of limitations of identities and some examples of how maybe an identity is generated and tie this in with it. And I think it'll answer a lot of questions, not only explain a little bit more about some of the theory that I've gone over in the other questions, but also a person may be able to see why people generally don't handle these things or are unable to handle these things themselves. First of all, regarding the limitations of an identity or a viewpoint. As I mentioned earlier, the the person himself or themself, the being, is not limited, but the viewpoints or identities that it assumes are limited. There are limitations. For instance, a person sitting on one side of a wall, and there is somebody on the other side of the wall holding up an object. Well, while this individual is sitting on the other side, he cannot see what the person's holding up, because the viewpoint from which he's perceiving from is limited in that way. It only can see so much. But if the person moves from this viewpoint to another by getting up and moving around the other side of the wall, now they can see what the person's holding up. This is an example of a person shifting from one viewpoint to another. Yes, the viewpoints are limited, but the person isn't if he is able to move from one to the other. But sometimes it's difficult for people because people get stuck in particular viewpoints or identities. You might have a man who is married for 20 years, and within this relationship, he in the beginning developed a way of how to be within the relationship that is working somehow for him. It's useful. He doesn't really have a problem with it for these 20 years because it may be limited. It may be somewhat fixed in the way he operates, but it works. But then after 20 years, his wife leaves him. And now he's in a different situation. He is having to learn to date again. His whole things are different. But this viewpoint, this identity that he has been operating in is with its limitations, no longer works for him. And so he is within a confusion here. He doesn't know how to be. There is a period of adjustment and so on going on with this individual. He may even be stuck in this other identity, which will be very difficult for him in terms of things he is doing. This just demonstrates the limitations of a viewpoint, the limitations of an identity. And the limitations of an identity can go very far, even in terms of therapy and self-discovery itself. I knew a person that for years was trying to seek truth. They were seeking truth, and they never really found. They went from one thing to another thing to another thing, always seeking truth, what they were calling seeking truth. This person finally found that they were in an identity with the purpose of seeking truth, and that's what that identity did, is it sought truth. It didn't find it. It just kept seeking it, and that demonstrates how even that kind of an identity would limit someone from any further self-discovery. In fact, there are many types of processes that we have used and that are used to some success, different seminars and processes and ways of enlightening people and helping people that are workable, but they appear to be limited in their workability. Certain visualization type processes are very effective. But the thing that we were trying to discover prior to Identics was, why do some of these processes, some of these visualization processes work with some people and then become limited? Why do they work with some and not with others? Well, it really depends on the identity that the person is in when you're working with them. To that degree, whatever you're doing is going to be limited. You could have an individual, and there was a girl that we had here at one point, who had been involved in all sorts of different therapies and seminars and systems for years, and she had stated that none of them really got her anywhere. She really didn't get much out of them. She knew that other people had, but she never really got any gains. And because of a crisis situation and hearing about us and effectiveness, she came in here, but she stated right up front, I don't know if this is going to do any good because I never make any gains. Well, we worked with her, and within an hour, she did. And, well, this seemed quite amazing to her, but it was pretty simple. Really, every time this person had gone into any sort of a system or therapy or seminars, where later she didn't make any gains, she would actually, when she first went into the system, she went into some identity that resisted gain, that actually resisted any change. And that until we were able to resolve this particular and work with this particular identity and the things connected with it, the person wouldn't make gains. But once that was resolved and she was able to look at that and handle it, well, then she could, and did very well, didn't have any problems. So As we can see here, the limitations of these identities have actually affected people in terms of their own personal growth and gains themselves, as well as examples just in terms of life itself and the limitations and problems that people have as far as unwanted conditions. And until this area itself has been addressed, as we've addressed it in Identics, many things were not resolvable. As far as an example of a generation of an identity, which I mentioned before, which you asked as far as an example of it, this might also tend to clarify why it's difficult for a person to resolve some of these things themselves. The person, as an example, say a person comes into us, and they come in with this unwanted condition, this difficulty that they get very angry, and then they get violent. In fact, they start beating on people. And this guy comes, he says, I want to handle this. I have beat my wife, and it's ruining my family, and my children are upset, and so on and so forth. Well, the thing that one must understand is that when this person is coming to you and telling you these things about this condition that he wants to resolve, he is not in the identity that beats his wife. He's not in the wife beater. He is in another one that doesn't like it. Another one that maybe feels remorse for it. But he's not in the wife beater, because when he's in the wife beater identity, he's not thinking, I don't want to do this. He's just doing it. When he is in that identity, he's delivering the blows, for instance. He is not thinking while he's delivering the blows, gee, I don't want to do this. He's just doing it. Maybe a split second after the final blow is delivered, he would shift into a remorse. But then he's not in it anymore. And one of the difficulties about spotting and resolving and inspecting these unwanted conditions and the rules and regulations that hold them together is that the person must be able in some way to assume the identity that is appropriate to that condition, which is where it was originated or generated. And when the person is in that identity, normally in life, he's not thinking, I want to handle this. He's just doing it. And when he is not in it and wants to handle it, he's not in it and can't. So it's almost like a catch-22 situation. And part of what we've been able to do within the identic system is assist a person to be able to assume appropriate viewpoints, to be able to fully inspect the whole package of beliefs and ideas and the rules that stick them, so that they can then undo them. And that's really some of the techniques that we've developed within Identics on how that is done, and it's been done very effectively. Things that a person wouldn't be normally doing, and that's why people are stuck in these things for so many years, trying so many different things. Now, as far as an example of how I tie this into the generation, well, this unwanted condition of this violence and anger, it had to start somewhere. And where it started, there was a confusion. Now, as an example, maybe some years ago, this person was in a bar, and he was accosted by three drunk guys. And the way he usually handled this type of situation was he would go into an identity that was very meek and non-confrontational. He would just back off and be very meek, and the people that were harassing him would usually just back off and leave him alone, figured it wasn't worth the trouble. And this always worked for him in the past. But in this case, these people were rather drunk, and it didn't work, and they started beating on him pretty bad. They were killing the guy. So this wasn't working. This was a confusion. And There was a change here, and this person passed a whole bunch of ways of how to be, and it was all in an instant, and then all of a sudden, he was able to handle this situation, take two of the guys out and send the other one running, and he survived and actually really ended up winning. And this particular identity worked. And at that time, in that situation, it was workable. But then later on, similar things that occurred, he could also get violent. Now, maybe now he's beating his wife when she burns the dinner, and this is maybe has nothing to do with the same type of situation, but this is how it kind of ties through. This is how this identity might pop in, because something was similar about it. And instead of putting this guy through some sort of a routine who comes in and says, and where this person is told that it's not okay to be angry, and where he learns to completely suppress every all anger impulses. Maybe within the situation of his wife burning the dinner, it's not appropriate to get angry. But if later on somebody's tackling him in an alley, it may be appropriate to get angry in terms of those situations. So this is really how the thing was generated, but now he has no control over when he assumes it and when he doesn't. And when properly inspected and the person's able to view all this, well, they can be or not be that at an appropriate situation. It gives them that kind of a freedom. So that's pretty much an example of the generation.
All right. Many systems address the traumatic experiences or tragedies that happen to a person as the source of their difficulties. Now, really, isn't that sort of what you're doing when you look for the confusions in a person's life with identics?
Not really. This is actually a very important point, and it really should it's good to explain this because it really demonstrates what we are doing. In the type of systems you're talking about, the attention is put on these traumatic periods as the source of a person's aberrations. In other words, what was done to them is what aberrated them. And this is really not the case. It is not really when the person was a fact. It is not really that somebody could aberrate them. If somebody could really aberrate you, you know, by doing something to you, then how, by any kind of therapy or whatever, could you ever get out of it if you had nothing to do with it? It would be a pretty sad situation, actually, because the person does have something to do with it. The real thing they have to do with it is how they respond to whatever that effect was. For instance, if one is walking down the street and somebody hits him in the face with a tomato, okay, he was victimized. But he had a choice in terms of his response. Maybe he'd hit them back with a tomato. Maybe he'd duck them. Maybe he'd run and hide under a bed, call a policeman, have a psychotic break. These are all various choices or possible responses a person could have. And the way that people respond to confusions is by, as we were talking about before, passing certain rules, regulations of how to be, generating new identities. This is the response, and this is what we're interested in, not really what was done to the person. I know there are a lot of systems that put a lot of attention on this and tend to generalize certain things that have happened to people as that made them aberrated. For instance, person coming from a dysfunctional family. Well, I'm not saying that dysfunctional families, a person may not, that it wouldn't affect a person. In many cases it would. But how do you really know how it affected them? Or even if it really did, for sure, until you ask the person. And really, you are, when you're doing that, you're sort of putting your attention on what is a confusion for one is a confusion for someone else. And that's not necessarily the case. How a person responds may be different from how someone else responds. A person from a dysfunctional family may have responded completely different from another person. If they did respond in a way that they became aberrated, it may be in a completely different manner. Sure, there may be similarities, but you don't know. So the way we're dealing with it is we're starting from what the person is complaining about as an unwanted condition and finding out where that started. And there is a confusion there. And the confusion is what it is for that person. And it may be traumatic, and it may not have been that traumatic. You don't know. You just have to see, and you have to ask the question, and you have to find out. In fact, a confusion doesn't necessarily have to be something that was done to the person. It could be something that the person did. For instance, the person could have made some big mistake and messed something up for himself and others. And whatever the person was being before he made that big mistake or that error, he couldn't really confront that identity that he was being could have such a blunder. So maybe to sort of soften the blow, sort of make it more palatable, the person became another identity, an identity which was no good, because an identity that was no good could make a mistake like that. Could be stupid. The only problem with that is maybe later in life this individual is using that identity as a justification in other errors that he makes. For instance, maybe he would make an error and say, well, that's okay, I'm no good anyway. You see? So this is an identity that was generated within a confusion that had necessarily nothing to do with anybody else doing anything to him. So what is a confusion for one is not necessarily a confusion for another. They are what they are. And really what we're concerned with, and I can't really stress this enough, is that within identics, we are concerned with how the person responded to these things. Because that's what stuck them, is their response. That's where the cause for the person was. And if they can inspect these responses, if they can respect these laws that they passed, then they, and only they, can repeal them.
Okay, there seems to be all sorts of systems out there that make fabulous promises to get people to take their services. But unfortunately, after a lot of time and money have been spent, sometimes these other systems are found to be a big disappointment. Since many people listening to this tape may be thinking along these lines, how will they know that identics is just not another one of these?
Of course, people are going to be skeptical, and that's understandable. One thing in identics, people coming to us, they can be skeptical. They don't have to be in a certain frame of mind or think in a certain way or believe in what we're doing in order for it to work. Okay, they don't have to be in some particular identity in coming here for it to work. It either works or it doesn't. They can be whatever they want to be when they're coming. Hopefully the information that we're sending out, the questions that we're answering, will give people more information so that they can understand it better. As far as promises, like some of these other things you mentioned, well, we only make one promise with identics, and that is really the only promise we can really make, which is to deliver the best service we possibly can. We can't promise certain things for that individual. We really can't, because each person is different, and it's not us that really does the inspecting. It's the individual. For us to say we can do this for you is not even true, because we're not doing it. They are. Now, this at first may sound like a cop-out, but it's not. It's just the truth. How can anyone promise somebody something in this area, these kind of gains? But what we can do is inform people about what results we have been having, of which have been tremendous over the past 3 years. We can tell people what we've done before in all these cases. We can explain to people what we're doing. We can answer their questions. But even so, as much as we can do this, we are dealing with a new system, and it's very hard for people to be able to see how can you get these kind of results so fast and so thoroughly in a short period of time. Because what can people do but base their understanding of a subject on their earlier knowledge and experience, which, of course, in certain things that we're doing in identics, they would not have that knowledge and experience because it is a new system. One way that we have developed in order to assist people in their understanding of what we're doing is that we've had a lot of people who have come here that have been skeptical also, who have done the services and have gotten the results, and we have made some arrangements with a lot of these people around the country for other people that are interested and skeptical and want to know a little more information than from what we can just tell them. They could call these people up long distance, and these people will talk to them and tell them about how they felt when they came and answer their questions and from their point of view what they got out of it. And that gives it a little bit broader understanding, and sometimes will assist a person in understanding a little bit more about what they would get. A person can't really know until they experience it, until they actually experience some of this themselves. It doesn't take a whole lot. We've made it pretty easy for a person to experience that. It only takes a session or two for a person to know, usually, that this is different than anything they've ever done and that they're getting somewhere. As far as answering people's questions, we'd be glad to. And we'd be glad to give them other people's names and addresses or phone numbers that have been here so they can talk with them also. It really is a whole communication with each individual on a one-to-one basis once they've listened to tapes and read the data. Every individual's got their own questions that they're going to want to know, have answers to, and have their own information. And it's just a process of communication. And sometimes it takes a while. It takes what it takes. One of the things that I would like to mention here is that, yes, we have given a lot of information on this tape, but the tape has been put together to answer general questions and give certain data that people have asked, but I know that people listening to this tape are once again going to come up with their own questions further questions and wanting their own personal information about what's going on. And so they can feel free to give us a call on our 1-800 number, 1-800-IDENTICS, 433-6427, and we'd be glad to answer their individual questions and give them any additional data that they may require and go from there.
Okay, Mike, some people listening to this tape might be interested in learning how to actually become an IDENTICS practitioner. Could you tell them about your training program?
Well, as I mentioned on the outset of this interview, we have developed a training program some time ago where we have been training people. First, the people, the practitioners that would work here and deliver to people who wanted to do the IDENTICS processing. But we're also getting more and more interest from people from other areas who want to come and learn and train for whatever their particular purpose or goals are for that training, some of whom just want to have the information so that they can work with, say, their own clients. These may be practitioners in other fields that want to learn how to do IDENTICS processing for their clients and so on. We also, probably one of the most popular reasons for people wanting to learn to train is so they can work with another individual and they can co-process each other. In fact, that's probably proven the most successful in terms of people doing the training, where you have two people, two friends or two acquaintances who come out from an area, and the two of them work together on the course, they do the course together, and then they work with each other as they do it, and then they go home and they work with each other on a continued basis. This has proven quite successful. As far as prerequisites, which a lot of people have asked me, well, do you have to be trained in this field or that field or in this type of work in order to learn IDENTICS? Well, the answer to that is no. IDENTICS is itself a new subject, and really one does not have to be experienced in any other particular subject to be able to work with IDENTICS. Obviously, people that we have here as practitioners have a lot of experience in the general area of working with individuals over many years, and that's why we have them working here with people professionally. But for an individual to learn these techniques and be able to apply it to a friend or to family and do this, no, one does not have to have earlier experience and knowledge to do this. So the training is available, and we can also give people more information on that who may be interested over the phone.
Okay, Mike, for someone interested in receiving IDENTICS processing or doing the training, does he or she need to come to Colorado to get it? And if so, how does one make the arrangements to do this?
Yes, at this time, most of the people interested in doing this would come here. This is where the facilities are. As far as the training, all of our training is done here. As far as the processing, generally, that's the way it's done. Now, where we are flexible in certain circumstances, where we've had a group of people that were interested in working with us, doing some IDENTICS processing in some particular area, where it was viable to send a practitioner, we've worked this out and we've done it. So we do have that flexibility. But for the person who is in some particular area that really doesn't know other people, that is really interested, that person generally comes here. And it's really not a big deal. I mean, traveling by air these days takes no time at all, and really the person coming here for IDENTICS processing, this person on the average, people only stay a week, and a lot of people come out with maybe 8-10 things that they want to work on, and not only work and resolve these things, but things that come up while they're here within that period of time. The way I usually schedule people is they come in on a Sunday night, they start fresh Monday morning, and they leave the following weekend. This also gives them a lot of time for things to sort of to unwind as they're working on things. You're getting a lot done in a short period of time. On the average, the most a person has been able to do in a day is maybe 3 hours on the average, because it takes them a while to integrate a lot of these things. But that tends to be the best time, and then they have the next day that they can work on some more things, and it goes pretty well. But yet, I've had people that come up here for a weekend and do fine. I've even had people come up and fly up for a day. So it just depends on the individual and what they want to deal with and how many things and what their time frame is and their finances and so on and so forth. It can be done rather quickly. And as far as the logistics, well, we pretty much can handle all that. We're used to having people come in. In fact, we even have a travel agent that can make all the reservations and take care of the ticket arrangements if the person wants us to. We have a limousine service from the airport to here that's really inexpensive. As far as hotels and places to stay, well, that just depends on what kind of a place the person wants to stay and what their finances are like. We can put them up at a four-star hotel, or they can stay in a motel, or we even have places they can stay at an individual's home where they can have a room plus board plus transportation for as low as $25 a day. So it just depends on what the person wants. But all those kind of arrangements we're used to making, and we can make for the individual and just according to their needs and their financial capabilities.
Okay, we're down to the last question. Where exactly is Aurora, Colorado?
Okay. Well, Aurora is really a suburb almost of Denver. It's a separate city, but it's really just a suburb. It's if you went from Denver to Aurora, you probably would never know the difference that you went from one to the other. Aurora is from the Stapleton International Airport in Denver, where a person will be coming in. It's about 15 minutes to our door, so it's pretty close in. So if that's as far as other questions people have on this or identics, that sort of thing. I know that we've gone over quite a few things that have been generally asked by people, which we've tried to cover in this tape. But I know from talking to people, even as we ask these questions, people come up with more questions that they have because they're individuals and they want to know what they want to know. And I just wanted to mention that anybody listening to this can feel free to give either of us a call at our 1-800 number, which is 1-800-IDENTICS. And we'd be glad at any time to help them and answer any of their questions and give them any other further information.
Well, that about sums it up. Okay, Mike, thank you. What follows are a few people that would like to relate their experiences with survival services and IDENTICS. Since most of our clientele are from out of state, these stories were related over the telephone, and the sound quality may be less than perfect. There was very little editing done. I just edited out a few long pauses here and there. And each person has their own story to tell in their own way. And I'm sure you'll enjoy hearing them.
My name is Mickey Crump, and I'm from Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I was in Denver on February the 14th to visit with the people at IDENTICS. And in the past, I've had a lot of successes in my life. But it seems up to a point about 10 years ago where things just stopped working for me. And over the period of time, I've been to therapy, I've been to self-improvement seminars. I guess you could call me a seminar junkie. And at the time, everything seemed great and wonderful, but there was always this long-term effect of things not working out. There was just something that was keeping me from being successful. And so I heard from a friend of mine that pretty much had the same problem, and she suggested these people at IDENTICS. And so I took a trip up there and went to see these folks. And we sat down, and it was real interesting in the fact that they didn't tell me what we were going to talk about. Each time I just kept saying, okay, now what? And he said, well, you tell us. You tell us. And what happened is we ended up focusing on the things that I really felt were the problem. Now, if it was the problem, great, we corrected it. But if it wasn't the problem, somehow they were able to direct me to those things that were the problem. And it was real interesting because they would ask me a question and I would focus my thoughts on something that created pain. And I'd sit there and I'd focus and some more questions would be asked and that pain would disappear. Well, after the session was over, I had this great sense of relief, like a big burden had been lifted. And that afternoon, I was a bit confused and bewildered about what had happened. I felt like something positive had happened, but I wasn't quite sure. So the next day, I got up and I started analyzing things and started looking at some of these areas that had been problem areas for me. And there was no longer this resistance. There was no longer the anger, the frustration, the negative emotions that had built up over time. And I just started asking myself some questions, and now all of a sudden, the issues are there, but they're no longer a question with me. I have a choice. I have a choice whether to let them bother me or to not let them bother me. And I realize that's something I haven't had in the past. It's always been a given fact that was a problem. But now it's a lot different. It does not have to be a problem with me. And I look at this and I think, boy, I could have saved thousands of dollars on therapy sessions, seminar fees. It's really truly an eye-opening experience and a life-changing experience. And it's something I think that people really need to look at, and people really need to give a try, because it can turn your life around completely.
Hi, my name is Jim Vishnevsky. I live in Santa Fe, New Mexico. For me, Identix was a very unique opportunity experience. I'd become acquainted with Identix as a result of a good friend of mine by the name of Richard Smith, and he told me about it. I was very curious, but hadn't actually done anything about Identix other than just noting that it looked like a technology that was quite interesting. And I've always been a student of human psychology and any type of technology that can affect a change in a person in a short period of time. And for me, it seemed like, well, this is something that I was interested in, and I'd been struggling with a self-image identity for quite a few number of years. And it's kind of curious, because at different times I was, in my opinion, very successful in the six-figure income. And for whatever reason, at different times I sabotaged my success. And then I'd get back to minus zero and have to work my way back. And after doing this a number of times, you know, I got to the point, well, why the hell do this anymore? Why go any further? Because it just seemed like whenever I did something, you know, and I'd reach the success that I thought that was making me happy, and then that would be taken away from me from something either that I chose or something beyond my control. And honestly, I was desperate. I went to Identix because I didn't have any other options as far as I was concerned. And I really didn't know what to expect. I just knew that I needed some results. I had an opinion that I didn't have time for traditional therapy. And because, you know, to me, first of all, it was going to be expensive, because typically most types of therapies might take, you know, weeks and months to get to the issue. And as far as I was concerned, I didn't have time, because I had to have something done right away. Otherwise, I could really see myself, you know, going down the drain in a hurry. And having been such a student of NLP and, you know, a lot of other technologies, I was at first in the session, I was of the opinion that I would know what's going on, and I would be paying attention to really, you know, how things were happening, and exactly, oh, well, this is what he's doing now, and oh, this is what he's doing now. And I finally came to the realization that, hey, I'm here not to understand how it works or why it works, but I'm here to get some results. And quite frankly, at the rates that it's charged, you don't really have a whole lot of time to lie to yourself or lie to the monitor. And, you know, that's in the best interest to me, is because, you know, it's not a cheap, inexpensive session, but it's certainly worth every penny of it to me, because I know the kind of results that I got in the first session that I went through. I honestly, because it had been a year since I went through the first program, and I had no longer had debilitating thoughts about myself. It didn't change my life in the respect that all of a sudden I knew now what to do, and it cleared up as far as my where I was at as far as my future. but it certainly got rid of all the garbage for me and helped me feel a lot better about myself for my past. And something that in my NLP experience, you know, I had discovered and went back through all of these experiences, and I thought I'd cleared them up because I'd reframed them and pre-framed them, and it's a process of, you know, taking those things that have happened to you in your life and changing them in such a way. But yet inside, and putting those feelings behind you, but yet inside I still felt them, and I didn't realize that was my issue that I was dealing with. So, you know, I don't know if somebody else would get the same kind of results out of it that I did. For me, in fact, that's why it took me a year before I went back to the program, because I thought, well, gee, maybe it's just because I was ready. Maybe it was just because, you know, I was searching, and my belief system is, you know, when you're searching, then you'll find it, whatever it is. And I was searching, and I was ready, and I did come across, you know, Identics, and for me, it was a great experience. And about a month and a half ago, I went through for a second session. About a year had transpired since my first one, not dealing with the same issue because that was no longer an issue. And I was more curious this time if I would get the same kind of results after going through Identics for a second time as it was the first. And yes, I would have to say it definitely has made an impact in other issues that maybe weren't quite as troublesome, but have certainly, I look at it as, if anyone's familiar with using a computer diskette, it's kind of like reformatting your files. If you have fragmented files, and if you go through and clean up, you know, the organization on your diskette, just like cleaning up and organizing your thoughts and your mind, allow you to operate a lot more efficiently. Consequently, as a result of the effects that I'd received, I'd shared my experiences with a lot of my friends somewhat hesitantly, because I was thinking, well, again, maybe that's just me, that I was ready and it was a unique technology, and because of my past experience and belief systems and that, you know, it had that much of an impact for me. But after talking to a number of my friends about it that had also gone through the program, they too experienced the same kind of results in a very short period of time. And that made me feel a lot better, because apparently there is a lot to the technology of Identics. And I certainly appreciate the work and the value of the material that Mike Goldstein and John have put together. I'm not getting paid for this. I didn't ask for anything for it. It's just that I'm willing to share my beliefs and opinions about Identics because it worked for me. And if someone else is interested in making some changes, and if they don't know of any better options, give it a try. Thank you.
This is Judy Pearson from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I would like to share a very personal experience of mine after having attended a session with Identics in Denver. I went specifically to them with several issues that I have been working with for the past 2.5 to 3 years. I have been in various forms of if you will, self-help programs, personal peak performance training, and private counseling, and all have been very good, and they've been very useful as far as personal tools for development purposes. However, I found myself in a position where I was stuck. I had behaviors that consciously I intended to be different from before, yet I continued to have results turn up to be the same in my life. And this had not only been in personal relationships, but in a career for me as well. One of the things that I've received immediate results in my behavior as a result of the session with Identics. One of them being, specifically, I've had an enormous problem since a divorce about 3 years ago, of which at the time I was self-employed. I had sold a business that I had and had joined my former husband in his business, and then at the time that our divorce took place, that was no longer available to me to participate in. So it was necessary for me to either start up another career with another job or go and get a job back out into the places where I had actually worked before. And I just couldn't bring myself to... I had been very successful in my own business, and I had earned about $60,000 to $70,000 a year. And the idea of going back and starting all over again was so mortifying to me. I was dumbfounded with it. I just couldn't move. And it's been a process of 2.5 years. I've been through enormous emotional trauma. I've gone broke. Just numbers of things that all of these other kind of trainings and counselings and numerous things just didn't seem to get me off of the stuck place that I was on. I had a friend recommend Idenix to me, and it made sense to me because from what I had learned with these other types of things that I had taken part of, that I knew that there is a place where you make a decision about yourself due to certain circumstances, and that decision can truly run you the rest of your life. And I knew something was running me, but I didn't know what it was. So unfortunately, not knowing what I was dealing with, it was difficult to take the tools I'd learned and apply them. After my session with Idenix and dealt with the issues that I had brought to them, I found myself coming home and realizing it just wasn't okay with me anymore to struggle. It wasn't okay with me anymore to be in abusive, emotionally abusive relationships. It wasn't okay anymore for me not to take care of myself. And it was the first time in actually more than 10 years, really, that I've been able to go, if you will, out on the streets and look for employment and remember that I am not what I do. I'm not what I drive. I'm not what I have in the bank. And even though at an intellectual level I knew that before, still not strong enough for me to be able to go and do something about it. And with ease, and that's the key element for me. It was not struggle. I didn't have to be coached to go out. It wasn't painful like it's always been before. Just with ease, I felt freedom to go out and say, this is the game I'm going to play now. I'm starting over, and this is temporary, and I'll make it back again where I've been, and it doesn't mean what I'm making it mean. And I got a job within 3 days doing something that I love to do. As a matter of fact, I was called by two people, and I actually had a choice of particular two jobs. I found myself with ease noticing just in interactions with people, being able to talk to people. I had a fear of strangers, and things just didn't seem like a struggle. It just didn't seem like a big deal for me anymore. And so for me to have results show up and then to realize that I'm in the behavior, and then it clicks with me, wait a minute, this isn't anything I ever used to be able to do before, and notice that after it is that I'm already doing it, is miraculous for me. It wasn't anything that I had to consciously plan out like I'd always had to do before and get coaching and get support and write about it and affirm about it and pray about it and everything else that I did. I mean, I just found myself with ease, loving myself and wanting to take care of myself and doing whatever was necessary to make that happen and just to be with reality, be with what is today and not imagine that it might be something different and not be okay with where I am. I have not been real good about staying in the present time because there were a lot of things in my situation that I didn't like. Now I can say this isn't the first choice, yet this is exactly where I am, and this is still my vision, and I'll get there, and I know I will get there with ease. I have a peace inside of myself that is a feeling I haven't had. I was suffering from terrible depression. I now have noticed, I think it's been about a month since I've been back from Idenix, and I've noticed it's been a solid month straight. I have not experienced depression that I have been off and on with over the past 3 years. People ask, how are you feeling, Judy? And with ease, I respond, I just actually feel good. And it's so unusual for me to have these kind of reports back to people constantly, how good I feel. And the only word I can have coming up for me all the time is a freedom from not being stuck. I used a metaphor in explaining this to a friend of mine one time, and I said, what I liken this to is a piano, and the piano has the keys on it, and there are numerous keys to choose from the keyboard. I was stuck on the key C, and C is a great key. It's just that there are many other keys on the keyboard I can be, and I need to be at different given situations, but I was stuck on C, and I thought that's all there was. I thought that's who I was. Now I realize I have the freedom to move across the keyboard at will. At any time, I can flow, I can be flexible, and I can move around, and to me, it's become more of a game of life as opposed to being stuck and not being able to move, and that's a metaphor that I use as to how I feel about it. And I'm free to make choices, and I can say yes or I can say no, and I've not been with this that I can remember in my life. It's not acceptable for me to struggle. I'm standing up for myself, I'm speaking how I feel without having to come from an attacking place. To me, of all the things that I've tried, Identix is absolutely without a doubt. I'm going to be specific about what I've tried because these things are all very good. I've worked with peak performance training. We have a LEAP program through Larry Wilson here in Santa Fe that's excellent. And we have Outward Bound courses and ropes courses, and Tony Robbins done a lot. I've done a lot of his work, and I've done a lot of work with Werner Earhart with Forum, and I've done a lot of private counseling and a lot of group work and a lot of support work and a lot of 12-step programs, and so I feel that with what's offered out there, and I've read 200 books on the subject of self, and so with that in my background over the last 3 years of doing nothing but that, I can truly say that I'm coming from a place of some experience of sources that, to me, nothing has ever worked and brought results to my life the way Identix has in such a short period of time. I was with them for 2 hours and 40 minutes and worked with many issues, and they're no longer issues, and to use the term, I just feel flat with it, and they didn't change anything. I've never been with such a group of people that have been such a, if you will, space for me to be okay in, that I'm the boss of me, what I say is what is the way that it is, and there's not a preconceived notion of where I need to get to or what I need to do. They simply turn the light on that side of me that's dark, that I don't know what's running me, and it's as though the minute the light got turned on, it took all the power away of running me. Now I have a choice to choose that particular identity or not. And by having that choice is where I believe I'm experiencing the freedom. As a result of the freedom, I'm experiencing a joy in my heart that I've never felt before. And it's not a happy, it's not an excitement, it's not that kind of a feeling. It's just joy that's almost as if it would be the basis of who I am, and a lot of other stuff got mounted up on top of it, and all that other stuff is no longer mounted on top, and now I'm left with a joy. And that's probably the best way I can explain on how I feel. That without particularly any circumstances having changed in my life, I was experiencing all this peace and joy. And that certainly did take away a lot of sense of urgency about a lot of things that I thought I needed. That I don't. Now I can come from a place of choice. And for that, I recommend Identix. Absolutely, highly. As far as I'm concerned, every human being needs a session with Identix. I don't know of anyone that I've ever met or talked to that hasn't had some sort of confusion or trauma occur for them in their life at one point or another, be that when they were children or as they grew up. And this absolutely takes care of it. It did for me, and it's for every single human being that I've sent there. I've yet to hear one person that hasn't had the same kind of response that I'm saying now. And for that reason, I'm so grateful and why I'm willing to express myself in the form of tapes or whatever on behalf of Identix, because I do believe in it so much, and it certainly turned my life around.
There were several other people that wanted to contribute to this part of the tape, but due to time limitations, we couldn't include them. I want to thank each and every one of them, and their stories will be included on the next Identix cassette. Like Mike said earlier, we can send you tapes, written data, and let you talk to people that have been here. But the only way to know, really know, if Identix is perhaps what you've been searching for, is to experience it for yourself. Call me or Mike at 1-800-IDENTIX, which is 433-6427, and let's talk. We don't give hype, promises, or guarantees, but what we do give are results. Thank you very much, and have a wonderful 1990.